Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Hey! This is that story show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where funny real-life stories take the spotlight. It's episode 446, brought to you the week of August 24th, 2023. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison, and my good friend is here.
Hey.
Sorry. He's mostly here. His phlegm is here.
Yeah, I'm here. Apparently. Wow, where did that come from? That's awkward. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Totally ruined the joke that I was going to tell, too.
You should have practiced talking before you get on the podcast. Do your pun. Come on. Do your joke.
Hey, James, I got a food fact for you. It's more of a food fact.
Okay.
So French fries weren't originally cooked in France. Yeah. They were cooked in Greece.
Oh, God.
Greek fries. I hate that joke. I hate it right now, but I love French fries.
I took all the joke sound effects out of the sound effects launcher. So the ba-dum-bump is gone, and so is the wah-wah-wah. So you earned one. How about this one? People laughing, but not really.
Yeah.
I still kept Greece, that one.
Those Greek fries. They'll do it to you.
We have to do this. We have to introduce our guest. He has been wowing audiences for over 10 years, blending uplifting comedy, music, personal stories, and pop culture into his interactive shows. He has a new comedy special called Oracle of Drybar on Drybar, of course. And he's a regular on SiriusXM. He's been featured on Fox, ABC, San Francisco Chronicle. He MCs award shows. He's won Best Director for his documentary called David's Ark. He's written a hilarious mystery novel called Lone Star Lance. He lives in LA with his wife, two sons, and his dogs. Introducing the one and only David Studebaker. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Very excited to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. Look at all the stuff he's done. What have you done with your day, John?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
I spent the day stalking David Studebaker online. So
nice.
How you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. This is an honor. I it's not every day that you get to hang out with your, which I know this may not be for the audio or the visual, but your Discord room. Bunch of great people. I may have misgendered one of them. That's fine. But you know what? They're great people. And the profile picture, there was a man directly in the middle. What am I going to do? You know what? That's fine. Great to be here.
Well, we always start with an opening story. This one's called Toilet Water Trauma. It's from Eden in Helena, Montana. I hope I'm saying that right. This is Eden. Ooh. And I wanted to tell you about the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. It started on a regular, completely ordinary day at home. I had a feeling that I had to relieve myself, so I went to the bathroom. And after finishing going, as you do, I flushed the toilet. But little did I know that someone else before me had clogged the toilet. Dun, dun, dun. You know the kind of clog that you can't see until you flush the toilet and the water goes up instead of going down? Yeah, it started overflowing all over the floor. I knew I had to clean up the water before I got my parents' help, so I reached in the cupboard to get some towels to soak up the mess. But to my shock, there were no towels in the cupboard. All that I could do was find a washcloth, there was a freaking rug, and a hand towel. There was so much standing water on the floor that the water completely penetrated and soaked everything I tried to put down. I completely panicked. I knew I couldn't just casually walk downstairs and be like, hey, Mom, how you doing? Guess what? There's a quarter inch of water in the bathroom. No, I had to clean up the water any way possible. So I looked down at my clothes and I said to myself, with great honor comes great sacrifice. I proceeded to take off my clothes, throw them on the floor, and attempt to soak up the water.
That's how you do it.
Full commitment, 100%. The water entirely soaked my clothes, and they didn't even help. They didn't do anything. I gave up on the idea of cleaning the water. I figured I'll just run to my room real quick, right across the hall, no big deal, get some clothes and go get mom. And just as I was about to make my little streak across the hall, the worst thing possible happened. My dad comes clomping upstairs. So now running to my room is not an option. So dad would see me. Dad would see me. You know, he saw me my whole freaking childhood, but you know, now suddenly, no, it's a big deal. So I looked down at my sopping clothes and I got an idea. This is where it gets really, really crazy. I grabbed my soaked clothes off the floor and I put them back on.
That's gross. Sorry, Eden. That's gross. If it, what's the saying, James? If falls
once it goes into a certain thing, it belongs to that thing. Like if you had a tooth fall out, like a crown or something, and it fell into poop, it now belongs to the poop. You can't clean it and put it back in. And once clothes go into pee-pee water, it belongs to the sewers now. So
well, actually, can I make an argument?
Yes.
Urine is sterile. Urine to me, different ball game.
Yeah.
Poop. If there's diarrhea or poop remnants, that's when it's been claimed. Urine, sterile, not worried.
Now we're just going to have to agree to disagree on urine because
but also depends on whose urine too. If it's my own urine, not worried about it. You know,
really?
Like, I mean, there's people who like pee on themselves for fun. People drink their own pee. I mean,
they're crazy.
I am in Los Angeles. We do crazy things here. All right. This is,
I just imagine her suiting up like freaking Iron Man, all these wet clothes slopping on her body. But anyway, so now I can't run to my room. Dad would see me. So I looked down at my sopping clothes. I got an idea. I grabbed them off the floor, put them back on. I ran to my room and changed into fresh, non-wet clothes, but left them on the dadgum floor to stink up the carpet. Then I told mom about the situation upstairs. So don't put on wet toilet water clothes, my friends. I'm probably still contaminated with toilet water over 99% of my body. That's my story. Hope it makes it on the show. Eden from Helena, Montana. Thank you so much for your story. That was amazing. Oh,
yes. Congratulations.
Good job.
You know, honestly, it's very rare that a story makes me laugh out loud. When I read that, I was in here by myself laughing my butt off. And then I was laughing at the put the water, you know, clothes in the water. And then she freaking puts them back on. That's next level.
Yeah, that's the twist. That is the twist. Oh, that's a wow.
It's dedication.
Impressive. Yeah.
Well done.
What I want to know is, I mean, those must have been some like very disciplinary parents because.
Yeah, she was so scared.
You got to be really afraid of those parents. Be like, yeah, I'll put on poop clothes just to not have them be mad at me.
That's true. There are children that have probably died because their friends saw them get injured and they're more worried about telling mom than getting their friend help, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like a Stephen King novel. Sorry.
Her fault.
It's kind of dark.
She didn't clog the toilet. Somebody else did it.
Yes.
That's also a good point. Again, very good point. Mm.
Yeah. Let's do some news nuggets. Suburban Detroit woman says she found a live frog in a spinach container. This comes from Southfield, Michigan. A woman in Southfield, Michigan, rather, got a fright when she discovered a live frog in a pack of spinach from a local grocery store. Hey, it sounds like cereal box in the 80s to me, you know?
Yes.
get a free pet. Alive. Yeah, you get a free pet. Amber Warrock purchased the sealed spinach package from a store. Her daughter found the live frog inside and screamed. She returned the package and the frog to the store to get a full refund. Because if you don't bring back the frog, you're not going to get all your money back.
Should get a bonus.
The frog was released by the store workers. Here's the kick, though. The Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development now is expressing concern because they couldn't confirm if the frog was a freaking native to the state. You know what? If it's not, it's going to die lonely. So why does it even matter? Anyway, the incident was reported to the U.S. FDA. Taylor Farms, the owner of Earthbound Farm, apologized and empathized their commitment to quality veggies and slimy pets. No, I added that part.
Quality pest-free veggies.
So kids, if you want if you want a new friend, you heard it, Taylor Farms. That's the kind of spinach you want.
I will say, as a once again frou-frou Californian who is obsessed with his, who literally, and this is true, when I'm in a new town, again, my buddy James, who's my opener, who's a very strong strong man, unlike me, he makes fun because my happy place, when I get to a new town to perform, the first thing I do is if they have a Whole Foods, I go there, and it gets me into my happy place and I feel comfortable. So that being said, I am that annoying person. However, the organic, like the organic, like Earthbound Farms and some of the other organic companies, like their labeling for things, the virtue signaling on their labeling annoys me so much. Like they'll probably start putting no frogs in this. Like there was a laundry detergent. It was eco-friendly laundry detergent. And I swear to you, it had a stamp on it that said certified gluten-free.
Wow.
What are we doing? Who is that? Oh,
that's for the Tide Pod kids. Certified.
Yeah, but like if you're kicking back tall glasses of laundry detergent, I think you have bigger problems than gluten. Okay, like are there people like eating, like people with celiac disease? There's just tons of people with celiac disease who wash their clothes and then eat them. Like my socks Benedict has gluten in it. Get me the EpiPen, honey. It's really crazy. They really need to relax. And I swear, there's going to be a frog. There's going to be a frog label now. Yeah. I promise you, they will have a frog.
100% frog free. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Might
yeah,
even this become their
certified frog free.
Delayed noise. Passengers growl after a bear escapes from a crate in a cargo hold of an Iraqi plane in Dubai. Before I begin, I fly Southwest to avoid the possibility of ever being on the same plane with a frickin' bear. That's all I'm going to say. Baghdad.
Wait, didn't they put a bear on the tail on that? Oh, that's Frontier. Never mind.
Yeah, Baghdad. Iraqi's prime minister has ordered an investigation. The prime minister into how a bear escaped from his crate in the cargo hold of an Iraqi aircraft as it was due to depart from Dubai airport, leaving passengers disgruntled over the delay and causing a stir in social media.
You have to pay extra on Spirit Airlines just to not have the bear next to you. It's an upcharge.
Yeah. You get on, you can buy spinach, you get a frog. You get on an airplane, you get a free bear. You know, the bear experience sounds is like extra. That. We won't give you a glass of water, but you get to come pet the bear during the flight. Airways said it wasn't to blame for the bear's escape. The bear did it. He had a little lockpick set. The crew worked with authorities in the United Arab Emirates, which dispatched specialists. Did you know you could specialize in removing a bear from a plane? You can.
Yeah.
Because there are specialists who sedated the animal and removed it from the plane. A video clip circulating on social media showed the plane's captain apologizing to passengers.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to let you know that if you look at your right, the bear is asleep and it is being moved right along with all your baggage and the baggage he ate. We'll be getting off the ground in just about 15 minutes. Thank you for holding.
They had a takeoff delay because the bear's escaped from its crate in the cargo hold.
All that bum around and growling you hear, that is a bear.
In accordance with the law and procedures and standards approved by the International Air Transport Association, the bear was carried out. So apparently they had freaking rules and regs in effect that weren't followed that led to the prime minister of the whole country to get involved. Could you imagine?
Prime minister. I mean, how big of a bear was it? Was it like a cub?
Yeah, was it a, you know, Dubai? I have to imagine it's somebody rich that owns it. Maybe it rode a ball. Maybe it was a circus bear. Maybe it had a little vest on. You know, I don't know.
He's my pet, man. They keep him in a little crate like they keep the dogs in.
The freaking crate was useless because the bear got out. So
yeah.
We got a couple of announcements I need to get through real quick. Hats are available. Etsy.com/NLCast. Get them while they last. I say that because I want it to seem like they're going fast. I'm not selling a freaking one of them. I mean, they were popular for a minute. Now I got two boxes of hats. Buy a freaking hat! Etsy.com/NLCast. If you love me, you'll do it. Subscribe to That Story Show's YouTube channel, youtube.com/@ That Story Show. We're doing shorts a couple, three times a week, and they're fun and entertaining. If you love what we do here, you'll absolutely love what we're doing on YouTube. So check that out. And then theme show. Remember our theme show. We're going to wait until we get enough content for it, and then we'll put it on. So you've got time, but do it now. Fears and tears. So let me just elaborate. If you have ever scared the crap out of somebody or somebody's scared the crap out of you, we want those stories. We also want times you've made somebody cry and times somebody's made you cry. You can think back. Oh. Everybody's got that third grade story on the playground. You might not think it's funny, but I'm just wicked enough to think it is. So please do that for me. It's time for us to get into our featured story time.
Let me tell y'all a story.
First, a quick word from our sponsors. All right, David, I'm going to ask you some questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's a quiz, but it's about you, so you probably know all the answers.
I hope so.
All right.
I hope you studied.
So tell me about your poop makers.
I have four of them. I have four of them. I have two dogs and a baby and a 4-year-old. There's a lot of, and they're both boys. They're both big boys. So my entire life is poop. It's just a constant flow of poop. Yep. So I only do stand up just so to get much away from the poop, just to escape, you know, for a couple hours from the onslaught. They're
material.
Right. And my son, I have a 4-year-old and the baby. My 4-year-old, my wife calls him Mini Me because he's like, we're best friends. During COVID, he was like a baby during the initial shutdown. And so I was just home all the time and she was working at the time. So I was his primary caretaker for the first year of his life. And so he and I are like extremely bonded and his personality is very similar to mine. He's a sweetheart, even though he's bigger and stronger than me already at age 4. And then the baby is wonderful, mischievous, and too smart for his own good. He is, it's going to be a problem. It already is a problem. You shouldn't have a 1-year-old outsmarting you on a regular basis.
Oh man, they are so slick. They're so slick at that age.
Yeah. And he gives looks like he's got the eyes of like a 55-year-old anarchist. But I love being a dad and they're a true blessing.
Wow. I think the Menendez brothers had those kind of eyes when they were babies. Watch out.
Wow.
Hopefully not that level. Just more subverting whatever we want him to do.
Just lock your door when you go to sleep, okay?
Yeah. Clearly.
Or lock his. You just never know. Unless he's as good as a bear, and then, it won't work. So tell me about your dogs. What kind of dogs do you have?
I have a Jack Russell Papillon mix, and I have a Yorkie Poo. Extremely non-masculine dogs.
Yeah. That's fine.
Cute little Yorkie Poo. Yeah.
My mother is a dog breeder, and so I know about the accident called the Yorkie Poo. I know about that.
You know what? It shouldn't be an accident. That dog, I will say, he is the perfect dog, in my opinion, because he's hypoallergenic. He's like 15 pounds. He likes to play, but he will lay on you for like 15 hours
That's
straight.
Perfect.
Whatever you want to do, he does. He is the most well-behaved, like just perfect. Like the other one, the Jack Russell, she's a little crazy. Okay. Cause she's got Papillon. There was some weird breeding that was going on. So one vet said that she might actually have fox in her because of the way her teeth, like the shape of her teeth. She's like we'll walk by literally like in our old complex, there'd be like this really drunk guy. He'd walk around and multiple times over the course of a couple years when we were there, he'd walk by and just look at her and be like, "What kind of dog is that?" And then he would just walk away confused because she's gorgeous, but she has blue eyes and a bushy tail like a flowing tail. But she's all like white with spots and the big Papillon ears. And she even will like hunt like a fox. Like when you take her and my other dog to the park, if the other dog gets far away, she will get into a crouch position, and foxes, when they hunt, they crouch and then they pounce on, and she will stalk him and then hop and pounce. And when she was a baby, she would make the fox distress noise when fox babies are
so silly. You'd have the answer to what's the fox say.
Right, I do. Yeah, no, totally. So she's, but she's definitely like, I mean, she's still sweet, but definitely different ball game. But the Yorkie poo, if I was going to pick like the perfect mix for me, yeah. Yorkie poo, love him.
Awesome. Tell me your journey story, from what you did before comedy to where you are now. Just go, be awesome.
Well, thank you. I guess so. The funny thing about what I like, my journey in stand-up is I started doing stand-up full-time when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
So, like, my journey, yeah, my journey, cool. I guess my journey started when I was 6 years old and a dentist put a filling on the wrong tooth. That was when I had braces twice. So basically,
oh, no.
I had a lot of health problems growing up. And like as a kid, I was a really good basketball player, and my best friend growing up, who he actually plays professional basketball now. But it was both of our dreams to become professional basketball players. But as he got bigger and blacker and I got skinnier and whiter, it was very clear one of us had a future. I was much better at making fun of the people he was dunking on,
right,
than actually playing. But I did. I had a lot of health problems, especially in like middle school. So I would watch, stay up late. I'd watch a lot of stand up and old sitcoms. And then I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and my aunt and uncle live in San Francisco. So they would take me to the Punchline when I was like 14. They started taking me, and it's the. And if anyone doesn't know, the Punchline is one of the more legendary clubs in the country.
Yeah.
And to me, it's the perfect comedy club. But what was funny is the first comic I ever saw live, I sat front row for Bobby Slayton, which I don't know if you guys, are you familiar? Basically, he's an old comic. He's called the Pitbull of comedy. He is one of the more hard-edged, filthy comics of the day. So it was... But what he did is, because I'd only watched stand-up on TV, and he interacted with the audience a lot. And I didn't know that was a thing at that point, especially because, you know, now, I mean, there's, you know, YouTube and Instagram and TikTok where people see crowd work. But at that time, you know, that wasn't a thing. So all you saw was just like Comedy Central or, you know, HBO specials, right, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So seeing that and and I do a lot of crowd work in my shows. It was just, that was really cool. And then also going to the Punchline, which like seeing that there's like a middle class of comedy.
Yeah.
Because you think like at that point in time also, you just basically knew like Jerry, you saw famous comedians in their specials, but I didn't realize there was like
working class,
a living. Yeah, you can make a living not as being ultra famous. So that was kind of when I got the bug, and I went to an arts high school where I studied. My focus was film, and I actually, my long story, but my health problems kind of continued, and I was able to start college because I had a really bad sleep disorder. And which worked out great because stand-up, you perform at night. So I was like one of the few fields that worked. But I finished my first 2 years of college by the time I was 18. And so I started touring with a rock band, which I don't recommend. Okay, do not open. especially when you're new, trying to do stand-up, opening for a rock band is the absolute worst
thing. I can
imagine,
yeah.
Like, the worst one, just quickly, was there was a heavy metal venue that they did, and I had to go out and open for them at the heavy metal, which, like, I've never understood, like, mosh pits in general. Like, I don't get the thing of, like, I love this song so much, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You don't know, man. Back in my day.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there's a virtue to it, but definitely not conducive to comedy. But I was kind of more hosting for them, not really doing. I hadn't like officially done like stand up. And then the summer before my junior year of college, I just turned 19. I performed for the first time, and what was crazy is within like the first 6 months of doing stand up, because I didn't have like. the kind of barrier that some people have in terms of stage fright, because I had done some theater, I had done acting, I, you know, opened for a rock band, which nothing can be worse than a stand-up stage than that. So I had a really quick rise, and I'm still pretty physical on stage, but I was really physical on stage at that time. And so I was able to be entertaining at a level that maybe my writing wasn't and my life experience wasn't at that level. And also it was more of a novelty then to be a young comedian. Now, again, with the internet and with everything, there's a lot of younger comics, but at that time it was like a thing. And so, yeah, within a few months, like 6 months, I was like headlining shows. I was getting offers like for nibbles from CBS and MTV to host shows and what was fascinating though about that is I was not like a child star, but I was so not ready. Both my maturity, my ego, everything was not at all ready for even that like little success that I had. And I was, you know, up until then, like, so the braces, the reason I brought up the braces earlier is I had braces the first time in middle school. And this was like, this was the orthodontist I had. I think he hadn't updated his tools since like the Eisenhower administration, because like it was like I had the headgear. Did you guys have headgear?
I never had braces.
Never. Okay. John, you what was the deal? Like headgear was like, who came up with we're gonna put a miniature Bowflex power lifter in your mouth, and then they're like, oh well, you have options. You can wear it at night and try to sleep with that torture device on your face.
Works.
Yeah, or you can wear that during the day and wear that to school, and I'm sure the school bullies will not notice at all that you look like a 1950s cartoon character. So,
headphones, man, leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. So then I had braces again in college. Last year of high school, first year of college, which I already looked like I was 14. So adding braces to that, I was not exactly catnip for the ladies there. And this is true. We were broke, and my cell phone carrier, the only cell phone I could afford, was a Virgin Mobile pay-as-you-go flip phone, which is the perfect phone to make sure you stay a virgin. I got my braces off my sophomore year. I started working out a lot. I, you know, started doing more theater, and so the reason I bring that up is, again, ego-wise, I went from like, you know, kind of sickly braces, little guy, to all the girls who rejected me in high school were like interested in me, and I'm, you know, like the local paper was doing write-ups, and there were TV nibbles, all that stuff, and I completely flamed out, and I had a lot of issues, and it was like a year of like just really rough health problems. Crazy stuff. Like I had to have surgery on my throat, and it was a wild time. So then I had to kind of rebuild and kind of mentally, physically, spiritually find the way to kind of do this in a sustainable way. So from there, it was just kind of slowly building up over the years, you know, working the clubs in San Francisco, building kind of a name there. Then I moved to LA about 7 years ago. But the origin story, it definitely, that those early years were really crazy when I first started out.
That's crazy. But you were possibly the only comedian that's ever crowd surfed. So,
yeah.
Or at least had the opportunity. So.
Yeah.
Didn't even have to carry guitar.
You know, the ironic thing, this is the funny thing about the entertainment industry in Hollywood, is when I started, I was very much like kind of egoic, all about me, and I was getting nothing but opportunities from like, you know, things that could have accelerated me into real fame. Once I kind of was like, you know what, I want to do this for the love of bringing people joy. Mm-hmm. I want to, you know, I'm coming from a really good place. Suddenly offers dried up completely. And it's been like, you know, it's been a slow and steady like jump. But like, listen, MTV and CBS have not come calling ever since.
You had a chance to sell your soul to the devil and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
So my second favorite question is, how awesome is your spouse?
Oh, I mean, number one, she is the most amazing person I've ever met. So, and she's wonderful. But I mean, how else would I answer that? Even if she wasn't, I would have to, you know, because, like, I don't
she could
these
be
comments.
Just off camera.
There's comedians. Yeah. These comedians who get on stage and they'll just like just rip their wives.
Yeah.
Sometimes the wife will be there. I'm like, what like no amount of laughter would be worth the just awkwardness and horrible time at home if I was. And I would never. I mean, my wife is a genuine living saint and I love her with all my heart. But even if she wasn't, come on, what are we doing?
Right.
Like, I'm too shrewd for that.
That's great. That's great.
I want to stay married. That's the other thing too. I last year I did 24 shows, headlined 24 shows on a cruise ship. We can get to that. I got punched on one of those. That'll be the other featured story.
Okay.
I got punched at one.
Did I see that on the news?
At a kid friendly show, teasing it for later. I got punched during a kid friendly show on a cruise ship. But one of the reasons why I don't do cruises much anymore, and I always resisted doing them. A lot of times when you're on a cruise ship, you're gone for a long time, and you don't always have great Wi-Fi, and you're kind of disconnected. Mm. And I don't like to be disconnected from my wife and from my kids for too long of a time. So
that's great.
And it's funny because like on stage, I'm very kind of party-ish on stage, and I do a lot of fun things on stage, but off stage, I am the perfect comedian to be married to if you're a wife who not that my wife gets jealous, but like literally like I get off stage like and I go to my hotel and I eat crackers, I drink milk and I go to bed. Like I don't drink, I don't party.
Look at you.
And audience members will want to afterwards and I'm like, I'm sorry. That was on the stage. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to go to bed and disappoint you greatly.
That's great. That's good to hear. That's how you live a long and healthy life in LA right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah. It's your longevity.
I get a lot of offers, but yeah.
Well, and it's funny too, because like on that cruise ship, they had like a chapel, and like I often like after each show, I'd like dip into the chapel to try to wash the cruise ship audience off of me. No offense, if there are some cruise ship audiences, I'm just saying they get a little wild, and sometimes people would see me, and then they'd be like, "Wow, that's a surprising after show party." So yeah, there you go. Well, there's the wife. So, but yeah, she's amazing. And it's wonderful because we definitely blend really well in terms of our values and what we want career-wise too. Because there's an old saying, there should never be two headshots in a marriage. Mm. Meaning two entertainers together is tough. And she definitely, she doesn't like the spotlight. She's introverted. She loves being like, she's a stay-at-home mom now and she's always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so it definitely... We're a good team.
All right. Tell me quickly, if you can. You wrote a book. It's on Amazon Kindle. It's on Audible. Tell me about your book. And also tell me about this David's Ark thing, the documentary that focused on people in places that protect animals and the environment. I want to hear about that.
Yeah. So the book is Lone Star Lands. Look at that.
Look at
Lone
that.
Star Lands right there.
There it is.
It is. It's definitely, it's the most... it's my favorite thing that I've ever done in my career. It's very personal. There's a lot of humor in it, and I tried to make it humorous. And it's just a mystery. It's very entertaining. It's basically a fun, easy read through the whole thing. But it was really freeing because with stand up, you have to just like always be making people laugh. And with even like I have a degree in screenwriting and I write screenplays sometimes. But you're thinking about budgets and actors, and this was just fully freeing. I could put in whatever I wanted to do. And so there's just a lot there. There's within it, I try to kind of, cause in my family, there's lots of different, people who have different views on religion, politics, all different kinds of things.
Right.
And I wanted to kind of have a book that showed, and we all coexist well. And I wanted to kind of have a book that could show that kind of anyone could read this book and enjoy it and feel like they were properly represented in
it
and be entertained and have a great mystery. And that, it's been really nice over these. I got the Reader's Favorite 5-Star Award. The Audible, I narrated it. So you, if you want me, I do all the, you know, I do everything on that one. So if unless you're annoyed with my voice so far, I didn't narrate it. But yeah, so it's definitely, you know, and it takes, it starts out in San Francisco and then it goes to Texas. And there's just a lot, there's a lot there. It, there's secret societies and secret theater clubs and murders, and it just, it gets really wild. So, and it, all the proceeds go to a very good cause. They all go to, paying for my son's diapers. So the Studebaker Diaper Foundation very much appreciates you getting it on Audible or Amazon.
All right, drop that name again. Drop that title again. What is it?
Yeah, it's Lone Star Lance, like this, like Star the Lance. State of Texas, Lone, the Lone Star State. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
By, I just downloaded it. Sorry.
Oh, thank you. I mean, thank you. I'm honored. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll spend an Audible credit on it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank
I didn't
you.
Download it for free, just in case you were thinking that maybe
thank
you. Bootleg it.
No, I appreciate that, John. Thank you. And yeah, no, it definitely, it's been cool. The other thing, and I'll stop droning on about it, but the other thing that's been really cool about it is it has made my shows, it's given even more meaning to my stand-up shows, because I sell them after shows. And I get to, you know, because not all shows are, some are kind of rugged and tough, but it's like any author would die to have a book signing like
oh,
that,
yeah.
where you have, you know, yeah. that many people there where you, so it really, you know, it's been really cool. And again, teasing the featured story, there's a tidbit in the featured story about the creation of that book.
Right.
And then David's Ark. David's Ark, just quickly, that was it was a show that kind of developed interestingly. We just started doing some, we just shot for fun some stuff. I love animals and I love, you know, I love the planet, and I felt like, you know, a lot of the discourse was very much dominated by people, kind of loud voices on either side on that.
Right.
And to me, like, most people are just trying to, like, make a living and they'd like to help out, but they, you know, sometimes it feels like such a massive thing or it's confusing or whatever. And so I just wanted to have a show that was, like, funny with me, because I'm a dummy. So, like, it was just me jumping into the world of, like, places that help animals and, you know, making it funny, doing that. It was kind of an offshoot of a show I did for a cable channel back in the day. And then one of the episodes we did, a couple of them won some awards in some film festivals, including Best Director at the Oregon Documentary Film Festival. And would you believe it, James, I'm teasing another part of the featured story. There's a featured story about how the quasi-death of David's Ark led to something really cool.
Okay.
So, but it still lives somewhat. We still may do it, but we,
where can
we
had people some nibbles. Find it?
It's on YouTube. We put all the episodes on YouTube.
Okay.
The one that won a bunch of awards, if you're going to watch one, watch the Marine Mammal Center one. You literally can just type in David Studebaker or David's Ark, like Noah's Ark, and then Marine Mammal Center. Okay. It'll pop up. Or you can go to my website, davidstudebaker.com, and it'll have all the a bunch of the episodes there. But yeah, the Marine Mammal Center one, that's the one that won a lot of the, and that was kind of our pilot that then got us, you know, almost on a big streaming network and yada yada. So David's
Ark. Well, it's time. It's time for you to tell some of these stinking stories. I want to hear the story of you getting punched in the face.
Of course. I did 24 shows. They were separated out, but 24 shows total last year on the Margaritaville cruise ship.
Oh boy.
okay. Yeah. It's basically a floating bar.
Yeah, exactly. Or a floating Motel 6, whatever. Well, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice. You can look on YouTube and you can see the reviews.
He doesn't work for him anymore. What do you say what he wants?
Yeah, right. So it's a 2-night cruise. Usually I do 8 nights in a row, and there's a show every night. So they go back and forth between Palm Beach and a very sad port in the Bahamas. And so the first
don't
night
get off the boat.
Yeah, I literally, you know, it's funny. I ironically say that in 24 shows, I got off the boat 2 times and I just walked and then I got back on.
Yeah.
And Margaritaville doesn't even have access to the nice cruise port unless there's another ship there. So Where was that? Yes. Yeah, so they do two shows. So the first night is a kid-friendly show, and then the second night is an adults-only show. Mm. And and the night I got punched, by the way, they would do the show, the kid-friendly show. It was like it was 10:30 p.m. at night or 10 p.m. at night on a booze cruise.
Wow.
Which okay. I not a lot of kids, you know, at that show.
Dad, I don't want to go.
Yeah. And I mean, there weren't a lot of kids on that ship in general. I mean, I'd walk around and I would see a kid. I'm like, what are you doing here? I mean, this is where you go to get, hammered and, know, like
sipping on a pina colada.
Yeah, exactly. So before I come out, so it's a, like a big theater. It's a gorgeous theater. And there's like, you know, there's no security though. Okay. In this 500 seat theater, which they tell me is actually standard for some cruise ships. I don't know. But the host comes out for the kid friendly show and it's, you know, this is just, you know, one of their hosts, not like a comedian. So I'm coming out cold and I had to do two completely separate sets, each night. Mm. So, the host comes out. And this is how that night they introduced me. They go, who here wants to see some adults-only comedy? And the whole theater roars. And then they go, well, you came on the wrong night. This is the kid show. Oh. And the whole theater boos.
And then they go, okay.
Now David Studebaker.
Thanks, so, guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I come and what I'm trying to do to kind of change the energy after the booing is I'd have the play music and I would go into the audience and kind of high five, dance a little bit, and then walk back on stage. Well, as I'm walking back to the stage, there's a guy sitting to my right, and as I about to pass him, he has this crazy look in his eyes, and he shouts at me, "I'm gonna punch you in the nuts," and I'm like. Okay, wow, nice to meet you, sir. And so I'm like, no, you're not. And I turn, and he haymakers me, uppercut, in the butt. So now I'm like, okay, what do I do? Like, I don't want to get in a fight with this guy and ruin it for the four kids who are there to see the show. So I'm like, I'm going to be a pro.
Friendly.
Yeah, I'm going to soldier on. So I get on stage. But the whole time I'm on stage, I'm looking over, and this guy still has this crazy, angry look in his eyes, staring at me.
Why is he so angry?
I don't know. And so, finally, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's the guy who wanted to punch me in the nuts. And he stands up, and he shouts, yeah, and I'll do it again. And he runs out of the theater.
Wow.
Well, now I'm on a floating prison with this psychopath who's just roaming around anywhere on that ship.
Puncher.
Exactly. And so there was a woman next to him, and I was like, who was sitting next to him, was, do you know who that guy is? She's like, no, I've never seen him before in my life. Well, it turns out security later said that is his wife. That is his wife. She just, maybe not for long. I don't know. So then.
What now? I missed that. So,
during the show, there was a woman sitting next to him who was, after he stormed out, I was like, do you know who that guy is?
Oh.
And she's like, no, I've never seen him before in life. I don't know who that guy is. And it turns out later security said, that's his wife. They showed me her picture on the room key.
I wouldn't claim him either.
Yeah, right.
I've never seen him before in my life.
Yeah. So then security's okay. Tomorrow night we will have a security presence at your show. And I'm like, okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, right. Thank you. So I start my set. 2 minutes into my set, I look up and I see the security because they're way off in the back. I see them run out of the theater. And I'm like, okay, that's comforting. It turns out there was like a 9-person brawl in the casino.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I don't know if the nut puncher tried to play blackjack or something. I don't know.
The machine doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So, so needless to say, I am not complaining that I don't do the Margaritaville cruise ship anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
That couple. I just imagine their wedding. He's down at the front, and the pastor's like, "We've gathered here today. I'm going to punch you in the nuts." You know.
That's solution. I'm not looking forward to that. I mean, I've heard kids say that to me before, so I guess maybe.
Well, yeah, right. And the thing is, like, as I kind of mulled it over afterwards, I think initially he thought he was being really funny. Like he just may have like one of those faces that it has just crazy looking face.
Yeah.
And so, and then when I was like, no, like you're not going to punch me in the nuts.
No, you're not.
I think he got mad that I got mad at him threatening to punch me in the nuts. And then that's why he was like angry. And then especially since I called him out on stage, further angered and ran out. Because security tracked him down and he was just like sitting in the lounge, just watching these ladies dance and do karaoke. It was very weird. I don't know. Not for me. Not for me.
Wow, man.
I think you should go on some sort of list if you're that guy. You know, they put pedophiles on lists. You know, if you're a nut puncher, you should have to wear a t-shirt. Yeah, or something?
Yeah.
Just to warn people?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about it, too, why, like, I was extra on high alert is, you're in C, and the laws are different there. Like, people say, like, actual, like, legit private investigators and people like that will say, like, if you want to murder someone, do it on a cruise ship.
Oh, no.
Because it is, because there, it's, the laws, you're not under American jurisdiction, and the maritime and who investigates laws. What happened sometimes can be tricky, and so it just it depends on the cruise ship, it depends on where you're sailing, but yeah, it's so that's also where, like, you know, I mean, like, they do have a metal detector coming in, like I wasn't worried about you know anything like that, but it's not you're stuck. Like if it's a comedy club, like, you know, there's actually, if you want to go on my TikTok at Studebaker Comedy or my Instagram at David Studebaker, there's a very recent video. It's like the most recent or second most recent or third video of a woman who towards the end of my set just stormed the stage. But she just wanted to like tell a really bad joke and she was very hammered. And so like in that situation, you know, I didn't get mad. It was fine. Like it was okay. You'll see how I handled it in there. But in that situation, like I get to leave that club and like go home or to my hotel afterwards. Whereas like a cruise ship, I'm in that fishbowl, all the time. I go to get food. I go everywhere and you're in long hallways. You're stuck. It's just, so that, was not comforting.
Okay.
I would say.
I want to let you go soon, but there is one story that we happen to have submitted that might be connected to your nut puncher guy.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a tale from his childhood. All right.
Asher, yeah, maybe.
Asher Coombs sent this in. He said, 3 years ago at a Christian summer camp I was volunteering at, I was in the kitchen and we were standing around waiting for a couple minutes for the kids to come in. And one of the cook's kids told me, I bet I could get you on the ground. He was like 12, so I assumed that he would try to tackle me, and I took the bet. He was wearing heavy hiking boots, and he reared back his leg and kicked me squarely in the junk. So, good lordy, pants, it hurt like mad, but I bet he couldn't get me on the ground, and I wouldn't go down in shame, so I chased him down with adrenaline holding the pain at bay for seconds. I took his hat from his head, and I slapped him around with it, but I didn't do anything because I didn't want to injure the child, and I didn't want that added to my offenses at camp. But here's the kicker, pun intended. When I peed a couple of minutes later, there was a definite red tint in the stream.
Oh, no.
And I can't imagine that was normal. So I learned that day that if a guy says he can get you down, his first target is the junk, and he's probably had practice, so he knows what he's doing. Asher Coombs. So, I'd like to thank you for being on the show. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Thank you to the chat. I mean, listen, Montag, putting the link to the Audible in the
Discord. He's amazing.
Chat. What a hero, Montag. Yeah. Thank you. The Not a Man VIP Trapnel for getting it on the wish list. Someone just left. I don't know what happened. Someone left the Discord as I was thanking them. They don't like being complimented in the chat. All I want to say is thank you. The chat's been really cool. I've been enjoying it. You guys, you rock in the chat. Which actually, that's a quick thing too. I still do a lot of virtual shows on Zoom, like corporate events. Which an hour long show alone on Zoom is a special kind of performance purgatory.
Wow!
Unless you want to hire me, in which case I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world. Please hire me for your company's event. But But no, I actually do really enjoy, some comedians don't, but I really enjoy this format. It was awesome being on with you guys. Thank you so much for having me. And where you can find me, my website, davidstudebaker.com, just my name, David and Studebaker, like the car. Instagram, @davidstudebaker. TikTok, @studebakercomedy. YouTube, @StudebakerComedy, I believe. But if you just search David Studebaker and comedy, you'll see my channel. It'll pop up. Facebook, @StudebakerComedy. I only use my personal one. That's where like all my stuff is. There is like a David Studebaker page that there's like 12 followers. I never use it. It lives on its own. It's a long story. We won't get into it. I've bored you enough. But yes, thank you so much. And I guess I'm on Twitter or X @DavidStudebaker. I also post on that once every 7 to 8 years. But sometimes I do, so it'll be fun. But yeah, thank you so much. This has been truly a blast. This is such an awesome podcast, and honored to be here. Thank you, John and James. And get Lone Star Lance, please.
Yes.
The diapers, they're expensive. Come on Audible, Amazon. It's true. it's generous donations like you that keep the Studebaker Diaper Foundation alive.
All right.
So yeah, thank you so much. This was a blast.
Awesome. Awesome. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much. You too.
All we have left really is to choose our winner. So, we only had two stories, and my favorite was the first one.
My favorite was Eden's.
Eden's
story was awesome.
All right, Eden, you're our winner. So congratulations. Yeah.
All the way up there in Helena, Montana. That's the capital, I think, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, it's time for us to get the heck out of Dodge. Thank you so much, everybody. Do you have a funny life story? Could you use an extra $50? I bet you could. Submit your story at thatstory.show, where you can also find links to our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Discord. We're even on TikTok now. And if you love the show, spread the love by leaving an iTunes review. Special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Kerry Wright, and Christopher Tynan. And remember, if something weird, painful, or embarrassing happens to you, like being punched in the nuts, don't get stressed, don't get depressed, just turn around so they can punch you in the butt instead and think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James. Thanks, David, wherever you went.
Yeah! It was too soon! It was too soon!
Maybe we can call him back.
David Studebaker, I miss him like a Laker. He's not a basketball player, cause he was too white like a salt shaker. Hey, I did it! I pulled it off! Yeah! Alright.
Well, you sing about Eden being able to buy some new clothes.
I don't know if I have time. Let's see. Eden's so wet, she needs some new clothes. She needs a new skirt and blouse and pantyhose. She got them soaked in some pea water as thick as she could. But you know what? It didn't do no good. Cause her daddy probably saw her while she ran across the hall. You flatten against the wall, trying to keep from falling. Anyway, that's all.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.